Welcome, everyone, to We Have Issues, our weekly comic book podcast that opens the vault, feels the boom, weathers the aftershock, and marvels at every issue released this week. I'm your host, Keith, and I'm here to talk to you about all our favorite issues and publishers of the week. But first, let's talk about a little bit of comic book news. I have a couple things to talk about here. A couple of big things from Vault first. And you guys know we love Vault. First of all, they have announced that Unnatural Order, their upcoming book, is going to be free to retailers, which is a really, really cool thing. I really appreciate the way Vault approaches things and how they try to do things differently and get their word out there. Just an amazing idea. So make sure to check that out. I was going to pick up the book anyways, to be honest, but now I want it even more. The other thing Vault announced, is that they are going to be doing graphic novel adaptations of He Who Fights with Monsters from Podium. This is really, really cool. I recommend everybody check it out. And I'm just very curious to see what they're going to do with this and like how much fun they're going to have. Like, it's going to be an interesting adaptation, I think. And it's going to be something that I definitely am going to be picking up as well. So those are my two bits of Vault news. Now I want to talk about everything else that's been happening. First of all, one bit of DC news. According to the 25th anniversary of Batman Beyond, DC is releasing an upcoming compendium of the original Batman Beyond comic book tie-in, which is all 30 issues from 1999, which is a really, really cool idea. The story is by Hilary Bader with art by Rich Burchett, Joe Staton, Craig Russo, and Min SQ. Yeah, really great idea. I think that they're going to sell quite a few of these because there's a lot of fans out there still of Batman Beyond. And I mean, they're still making the comics today. So definitely a really cool thing to check out. That's my little bit of DC news. I actually only have a little bit of Marvel news. First of all, I just will quickly address this. Chuck Dixon said some things about Punisher and Marvel. Chuck Dixon's not a person to be taken seriously. I'll just leave it at that. So if you are taking that seriously, don't. It's not worth worrying about. After that, Marvel has announced a new set of crime novels based around their characters. In this case, Jessica Jones, Luke Cage, and Daredevil. Original novels intended for a mature audience through their imprint, Hyperion Avenue. This is a really, really cool idea, and these are three characters that I absolutely love, of course. The first one is going to be based around Jessica Jones, so of course I'm going to love it because I absolutely love her. Then Luke Cage, and then Daredevil. I really think this is a great idea. I want more stuff like this. I talked about it in the last episode about novelizations of Marvel characters, and I think it's a really good idea. So more of these, please. I will be buying all of them. Next up, Moon Girl and Devil Dinosaur are getting a new graphic novel. This is out coming off the success of the Disney Plus series. They're going to be teaming up with Scholastic to do a new graphic novel for the characters, and it's going to be called Moon Girl and Devil Dinosaur Wreck and Roll, written by Stephanie Williams with art by Asia Simone. Yeah, really cool. There is a preview up online if you want to look for it. I did find it on CBR myself, and it looks cute, very in keeping with the show. So I like Moon Girl. I think that's a really great idea. And it's definitely a great looking book for the young child in your life if you want to get them into comics. After that, Marvel has announced, kinda, a sequel to Spider-Man Reign. Now, my co-host Josue, who is still on hiatus, is a huge fan of Spider-Man Reign. And it's not my favorite. I'll just be flat out honest. It's not my favorite. And Josue loved it, though. And the fact they're doing a sequel, I'm very curious to see if what he thinks of it, definitely. And what you guys think about them making it, of all stories, the sequel to Spider-Man Reign. Very strange. But that is going to be coming out soon. And a couple other big announcements from Marvel. First of all, Marvel has announced that there will be a new Spider-Woman book, which is spinning out of Gang War that we talked about. And I'm really excited because I really loved the last Spider-Woman book. It was really, really good. This one's going to be written by Steve Fox with artwork by Carola Borelli. And yeah, I really appreciate this. I really think that Jessica needs her own book. I think she's that good. And like I said, the previous one was amazing, and I'm just glad to see it come back. and tying in a gang war, that's a really good idea to launch a new series. It's always a good way to get them going. So yeah, definitely looking forward to this one. And we also got an announcement from Marvel that they're going to be bringing back the Sentry, the superpowered character, this December. Now, the original Sentry is dead, but there's going to be a new Sentry miniseries by Jason Liu with art by Luigi Zagaria, where the Sentry's powers and memories start manifesting in other people around the world. And basically, will one of them take control? I think that's an interesting idea. Sentry is a character that I think was a really good idea for about a year and a half, and then was kind of a like an anchor around the neck of Marvel, because they're like, now we have to account for the Sentry and everything, you know, like in every event we do, we have this ultra powerful character. How do we work him into this? And what, you know, why isn't he here for everything? So I think that's one of the reasons he was gotten rid of. So it's very interesting to see if they're going to try to rework him. So I'll be curious to see where it goes. And finally, Tom Brevoort, who has been the editor of the Avengers comics for 25 years, has announced that he's going to be moving over to take over the X-Men line from Jordan D. White. That's really cool. I'm very worried because I absolutely love X-Men as it is right now. But Tom Brevoort's a very smart man. He's not going to make changes where changes don't need to be made. And yeah. It's very interesting, though. Big shakeup, huge, like long-term shakeup in the Marvel offices. So I'm curious to see what we're going to get from it. And then my last bit of news is the Harvey Award nominees. So I'm going to run them down really quick. Book of the Year, Acting Class, Ducks 2 Years in the Oil Sands, Follow Me Down, A Reckless Book, Girl Juice, It's Lonely at the Center of the Earth, Little Monsters, Volume 1, The Man in the Macintosh Suit, Mimosa, Public Domain, Volume 1, Who Will Make the Pancakes? I want It's Lonely the Center of the Earth to win. Zoe Thorogood didn't win any Eisners, and she should win. So there's that. But a lot of really great books in there. Digital Book of the Year, Barnstormers, which is now being printed, and you'll hear about it later in this episode. Deeply Dave, Everything is Fine, Lore Olympus, and Ripple Effects. I think Lore Olympus will win. It's the biggest webcomic ever, basically, and it's fantastic. I wouldn't mind Barnstormers or any of the others winning either, though. So not going to go over the children's and young adult books. We'll talk about manga for a moment. Best manga, Cat Plus Gamer, Chainsaw Man, Goodbye Eri, Shuna's Journey, Spy Family. I think it's Spy Family's to lose. I don't see them losing it. Maybe to Chainsaw Man, but I think last year was Chainsaw Man's year, not this year. So Spy Family. None of the international books are stuff that we cover, so I'll skip that. Best adaptation from comic book or graphic novel. American Born Chinese, Drops of God, Moon Knight, Nimona, The Sandman, She-Hulk, Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse, The Stuff of Legends, Sweet Tooth Season 2, Wednesday. There's so many good ones here. I really want American Born Chinese to win because I want people to watch it. So that's my vote. But almost any of these could win, and I'd be happy. Nimona would be great to win. Moon Knight, Sandman, She-Hulk, Spider-Man. I loved all those. Haven't seen Wednesday or Sweet Tooth Season 2 yet, so just not those, because I just don't know them. So, but yeah, that's all of my news for the week. So we are going to go ahead and move on and talk about some comic book reviews. And as always, we don't start with a bang, we start with a boom. Boom Studios. We got 3 books from you from Boom this week. First of all, Ghost Lore, number 4, written by Cullen Bunn, illustrated by Leo Max, colored by Jason Wordy, letter by Ed Dukeshire. I really like the way this book is telling this paranormal story, but at the same time is telling this story of this family and recovering from this tragedy, but at the same time, like I said, dealing with the paranormal. And it's very interesting. I love the dynamic of the parent and the child, and they're both damaged by what happened, and they can't just move on. It's not that easy. And at a certain point, when do you lean on each other, or when do you step away from each other and surround all that with talking ghosts? Like, it's just really, really cool. I think this is the first issue that I really liked the father a lot more. So it was a really good focus issue for him. And I think that, I think I understand the character a lot better now after this issue, and I really like it. So this has been a really great book, very much a surprise for me. So I recommend Ghost Lore. It's very fun. It's very spooky, and it's definitely something that if you do like that kind of like ghost haunting feel, but with a heart, it's a good book. So next up is Damn Them All, number 7. Damn Them All, coming back after a little bit of a break. Written by Cy Spurrier, illustrated by Charlie Adler, colored by Sophie Dodgson with Daniel Silva de Carvalho, and letter by Jim Campbell. We check back in with this world where these demons are being controlled by these people, and it's just really, really cool. I maintain that the main character is just like one of my favorite protagonists in comics. I love her. She's amazing. It's just a really fun book, and everything gets way more complicated here because we spent 6 issues dealing with this demon problem, and now we have another problem, which is what follows demons? Angels. So I really, really like this. It's a nice wrinkle in the story. I want to see what kind of role they play, how they're going to change things up. So definitely, it's still worth being on this book. It's so good. And if this is a new volume, I'm very excited. We'll see where we're going to go. And my final boom book of the week is House of Slaughter, number 16. Yeah, baby. So House of Slaughter, starting a new arc. And series development by James Tynion IV, written by Sam Johns. Illustrated by Letizia Codonici, colored by Francisco Segala, and letter by Ann World's Justin Birch. I really like this issue. It focuses on a new character that you need to get to know. This is the first time we're actually focusing on the White Masks, like as a team, and who they are and how they operate, which is really, really cool. I've been liking the focus on the different masks, and having this one, I just think it's really, really well done, and also introduces a really fascinating character that I'm very curious to see where it goes. So yeah, great start to a new arc. I really think it's cool. I can't wait to see if this, leads back into something is killing the children, especially with Letizia taking over art on this volume. Maybe we'll see. So yeah, very good as always, of course. I don't have to tell you that House of Slaughter is good. So next up is Dynamite Comics, and we're going to talk about Gargoyles Dark Ages, number 2. I'm really enjoying this book as a companion to the other book. It's just given a cool new perspective. And I think it's something that long-term Gargoyle fans would really enjoy. Written by Greg Weisman, art by Drew Moss, colors by Martina Pignatoli, letter by Jeff Eckleberry. I love this flashback tale of the Dark Ages and the Gargoyles teaming up with humans and, having reservations about it. Should they do it or should they not? And obviously, it doesn't go according to plan, and I just really like it. There's a real dark edge to it, and there's so many characters that are just simply not safe because of the story and the nature of the story that give it like a real like tension that I enjoy quite a bit as well. So really, really good stuff. I love it. I love both Gargoyles books. There could be another. I'd buy that one too. So you should all be reading Gargoyles, both the original series and Dark Ages, because they are fan. Fantastic. And next up is Dark Horse Comics. I got a couple Dark Horse books this week. Let's start with, I told you we'd talk about them again, Barnstormers, number 2. Written by Scott Snyder, art by Tula Latte, co-created by the two of them, colors by D. Cunniff, and letter by Richard Starkings. This awesome period piece about this pilot and this girl, this runaway girl, runaway bride, as you were, is so good. And I have to start like I did in the previous issue with the art. The art is absolutely gorgeous. It is so beautiful, and it has a life to it that I love it so much. So if you're a fan specifically of just really fantastic art, this is a book for you. But the story is amazing too. I really like this, runaway whirlwind romance, slightly outlaw feel. It's just a really great idea. I love the antagonist. He's so over the top and ridiculous. And it's really, really good. As I said, it was started off as a digital comic, and so it's getting printed now. There is one more issue left, and I'm definitely in for the last issue. I think it's going to be really cool. And I bet they're going to do a really nice collection for it eventually, too. Like a nice, like maybe a paperback trade. I think it would look really good. So, yeah, Barnstormers, high recommendation. Definitely pick it out. After that is Masquerade number 7. So written by Kevin Smith and Andy McElfresh. Art by Julia Giulazzi. Colors by Julia Brusco. Color or letter by Andrew Thomas. There we go. So it feels like we're coming to the end of this story. And I'm really liking it. I love the... Yeah, it says to be concluded. I was just double checking. I'm liking it. I love this confrontation that she has with the what seems to be the big bad. And how she's not able to solve it on her own, how she needs backup. And the backup she gets and the way she gets it is fun, too. I really enjoy that. I really appreciate the book. I love how insane and kind of wacky she gets when she's got the mask on. I think that adds an interesting like level of character to like what could be a very grim series. There's a lot of grim stuff going on this. And the humor is in such a way that it's almost like desperate humor, like desperately trying to get people to laugh in a grim situation. If you're like me and you're the kind of person when you go to a funeral, you want to kind of like make a little joke to cheer everybody up. That's kind of what I guess I'm feeling like. And I really like that, except, you know, more grim. And it's been a really great ride. One issue left. I'm curious to see where we're going to go because it ends on a really fun reveal, first of all, of how she gets assistance. And then kind of a tease of what's about to happen. Is this really going to happen? We'll see. So let's see. I have a feeling they're going to stick the landing, but we'll see. And finally, the return of the two-time Remy Award-winning miniseries, Killer Queens. Killer Queens Volume 2 from Dark Horse Comics. Script by David Bower. Art by Bradley Clayton. Colors by Harry Saxon. Letters by Lucas Gattoni. This is one of our favorite books. We loved the first volume so much. As I said, it did win 2 awards. It won Best LGBTQIA plus book from us, as well as Best Dark Horse book of that year. So just really, really happy to see it back. It's something we definitely would really, really want. There is a new character that is introduced that is binary or non-binary, and it's just amazing. There's a shot of them getting away. That's a big two-page spread. That's just wonderful. We also get to check in with our favorite gay space mercenaries. I guess mercenaries would be the word for them as they go to Space Pride. And I miss Josue. I wish he was here because he needs to be here for this. And it's just full of more of the shenanigans and stuff that we are used to with these two characters. Randomly getting a tramp stamp tattoo at Pride. Awesome. Lots of fun. Running into an old friend, I will say. And we also get a little bit about the origin of one of the characters. I'm not going to spoil because it's a great book and you should read it. But we do get a little bit more origin about them. Also, we get a Hench Otter reference, which Hench Otters were my favorite thing about the book, the first one. So, yes, excellent. Great stuff. Definitely jump back on Killer Queens if you haven't already. And if you didn't read the first volume, what's wrong with you? Go back and read it. It's best. It's gay and amazing. And I love it. And next is Image Comics. Probably the smallest Image Week I've had in 2 years. I only have 2 books. The first one is Stoneheart 6. Everything's done by Emma Kubert. And I still continue to love this book. It's just so much fun. The story is really good. The mythology they're building. I absolutely love the main character. I think she's adorable. She's someone that I really appreciate and think is just so well developed, but also like I'm drawn to her. I really appreciate her quite a bit. The primary love interest has a really great moment in this one where he's able to break off the bounds of the magical spell he was under. And the first thing he does is very telling. And I will definitely say that I was very happy to see that. So great book. This book has been absolutely great. Everybody should be reading it. Stoneheart by Emma Kubert. This is number 6, but go back and read it. The art is amazing. It's just fantastic. So, and my other Image book is Keith's Book of the Week, Swan Songs number 2, written by W. Maxwell Prince. Art is by Caspar Vengard. Letters by good old Neon. So Swan Songs is a mini, like an anthology mini series. Each book is about a different story, but it's about the ending of things. The previous issue was really good. I really enjoyed it, but this issue blew me away. It's about the dissolution of a marriage, the dissolution of a relationship. And it's told in a way of like constantly going to battle with the person. And I really appreciated the metaphor, but I really appreciated the little things. If you've ever gone through a major breakup, which, I mean, not to get personal, but I have. I've gone through a relationship where I lived with the person for a long time. And just the simple matter of them telling the story of how they met and disagreeing if she was trying to pick up, trying to find avocados or apples, and that becoming like a thing is just like, that's, relationships can get to that point where it's just like, you have so much aggression against each other that something that dumb can become an issue. And I loved that little touch. I felt that deep in me, but it was just amazing. And it was just, it's, you know, like you've never fought with somebody like this, but you've definitely felt like you fought like somebody like this with somebody like this. That's what I would say. It feels like that. And it was emotional and amazing. And what a great book. So far, we're only two issues in, and it's been so good. So I'm definitely in as it continues. There's definitely going to be some more. We got a preview for the third one at the end of this one, so check that out as well. And as I said, not a long Image book list. This is it for Image. So we're going to move on to DC. And don't worry, DC will make up the room that Image left. Danger Street, number 8. Written by Tom King, art by Jorge Fornes, colored by Dave Stewart, and letter by Clayton Cowles. I'm not going to spend too much time on this one, but I will say that I absolutely love the police chief. I think she's amazing. I'm actually starting to like the boys, the little kids on bikes group. I think they're a lot of fun. They talk a lot of shit, which I appreciate. And it's just really cool. It's been really, really good. There's a scene with Jack and the police chief that I think is amazing. Especially at the very end of it. It's just so good. I can't spoil it. It's getting to the point where I'm not going to spoil anymore. But yeah, it took me a while to come around on this book, but I'm really enjoying it now. It's very, very good. So make sure to check it out if that sounds like something that's up your alley. Next up is Justice Society of America number 5. This one is kind of the end of the arc, which I thought was really interesting. I didn't see that coming. Written by Jeff Johns. Art by Mikhail Janin and Jerry Ordway, colors by Jordi Belair and John Caliz, and letter by Rob Lay. So basically, the JSA of different eras are working together to save themselves, basically, because they're being murdered by Degaton. And the big thing is Helena Wayne Huntress is the one he's kind of like can't see. She can go back and forth. And I really liked this issue. I thought it was really, really cool. I thought there was a lot of like really great uses of power. I love the multi different versions of him attacking like an army of Degaton, which is really cool. There's a really great double page spread that's just could just double as an amazing poster and probably will be a poster eventually, I'm sure. Just showing off the JSA membership. And then the ending of this is very interesting because it's definitely going to have an impact. And arguably, did it already have an impact, is I guess the way to put it, because Helena tells her father that he's going to die and win, and that changes the future. And he handles it in traditional brusqueness, you know, and like with time travel, you always wonder, like, is anything going to change, or is the implication that it already changed, you know, like that kind of thing. So but I really like it, and I'm very happy to see that this book is continuing from here. I thought it was going to be a mini and just handle this one arc, but it does look like we're going to continue, so I'm here for more. Can't wait. Next up is Batman Incorporated, number 11. Oh, man. The battle against Joker Inc. is heating up, and it's going to be really curious. I mean, the cover has the line Batman Incorporated is done. And I'm starting to think, yeah, that's probably the case. Written by Ed Brisson, art by John Timm, Sergio Cunha, and Nicholas Esmeja, color by Rex Locus, and letter by Clayton Cowles. Again, I won't go too into detail about the individual things that happened. There's a lot of lot going on. There's multiple locations. But yeah, we got the Batman Incorporated people trying or needing to make a decision as to what they're going to do. Are they going to kill these Joker Inc. people and save the innocent people? Is that a decision they're going to make? Do they violate that belief of theirs, or at least of Bruce's? You know, like it's just really interesting. And I'm very curious to see what is left after this arc, I guess. If there's anything left of Batman Inc. and what's going to happen to some of these characters, because there's a couple of them that are like fan favorites of mine, like Knight and Clown Hunter. I really like the both of them, and I'm very curious to see where they're going to go from here if it's not within the boundaries of Batman Inc. So we'll see. Next issue is 12, and 12 is a big round issue, so we'll see. After that is Spirit World number 4. All right, this one is written by Alyssa Wong, drawn by Haning, color by Sebastian Chang, and letter by Janice Ching. I continue this amazing journey with Xanth and Constantine and Cass. I just love the vivid imagery of this book so much, and the world that they've created, this ghost world, the spirit world, if you will, that they've created. And I just love it so much. There's not a lot about this issue in particular that I'm going to like bring up and talk about. I just really want to just focus on how great the book it is as a whole, and that you should all be reading it. It's very fantastic. There's also like quite a bit of horror in this for the image of it. Not like horror in a traditional sense, but there's some really creepy stuff. There's some very disturbing haunted house imagery that I think is really interesting, if that's your thing. So make sure to check it out if that sounds like something you'd want. Next up is Wildcats, number 10. this book is great. Written by Matt Rosenberg, art by Steven Segovia and Tom Derenick, colored by Elmer Santos, and letter by Efren Delgado. Yeah, so we are back on the main Earth. We are no longer split with the other reality. And we get to see a lot of fighting, a lot of like specific combat that I really enjoyed. But one thing I absolutely enjoy is that three of the Wildcats come face to face with our DC heroes, Batman, Black Canary, and Arsenal, which is very funny because Arsenal, I was like, what's Arsenal doing there? And then I realized he's there to be the butt of the joke, and I love it. Also, because I think Matt Rosenberg just loves the Green Lantern family, or the Green Arrow family. So, but yeah, we get the really cool return of Grifter, of Cole, back to this world, and I just loved it. I thought it was a lot of fun. As somebody who absolutely loves these characters, it's just so much fun to see this book continuing, and I don't know how much longer it's going to go. I don't know if this is a mini. I hope it's an ongoing. I've never gotten a confirmation of that, especially with Z going to the Birds of Prey book. But you know, Wolverine's in like 12 books, so whatever, it doesn't matter. But yeah, wonderful stuff, and good to see my boy Backlash again, so always worth it. And my final non-Night Terrors DC book, DC Superman Annual 2023. This one is really cool, and I saw someone post on Twitter that they would like this to kind of be a backdoor pilot for an ongoing, and I think that's a great idea. So written by Joshua Williamson, art by Mahmoud Asrar, Edwin Gallman, Caitlin Yarsky, Max Rayner, Jack Herbert, colors by Dave McCaig, Edwin McGallman, and Alex Gamaris, letter by Ariana Mayer. It's basically a Daily Bugle story, and it's told from the perspective of Lois Lane as editor, and it fills out the whole roster of reporters and stuff. And I really like it. I thought it was really cool. There's also a lot of Mercy in it, and I've been loving Mercy lately. Superman really is like tertiary to the whole story. He's not really there. And I think that's really cool. It's a very interesting way to tell this tale. And I really think like this could be something in the future. I think that a Daily Bugle book would be an amazing like story. Like I think that'd be really cool as its own book. I think that's a good idea. So whoever said that on Twitter, bravo. I agree with you. But yeah, definitely make sure to check it out. I really think you would enjoy it. So I also just realized I said Daily Bugle and I meant Daily Planet. I apologize. I'm mostly a Marvel fanboy. Sue me. All right, let's talk about Night Terrors. Night Terrors Flash number 2. These are all two-parters to a two-part series, so conclusions. Written by Alex Paknadel, art by Daniel Bayless and Tom Derenick, colors by Igor Monti and Pete Pantazis, letter by Simon Bolan. The thing about this book is the art. It's so insane the way they draw the twisted version of the Flash as his body's being twisted by time and just by his efforts. It's just really weird and disturbing, and it's just so good. It's literal body horror is the only way I can describe it. There's so much just really great body horror in it. Of course, Barry is able to overcome. Well, actually, he's not really able to overcome. He's actually brought out of his dream, which or his nightmare, which I thought was really interesting that he didn't actually like resolve it. I thought that was cool. But he was brought up by Wally and his whole nightmare was about Wally. So that was interesting, too. I also love the idea that he was sleep running, which is really terrifying. Like he probably just plowed through a bunch of stuff. And that's yeah, really cool. Really interesting. Just very disturbing imagery. If that's your thing, this is a book for you. Really, really good. After that was Night Terrors Green Lantern number 2. This one I thought was funny, and I'll be honest with you. I mean that in a good way. I enjoyed it quite a bit, but I will explain, I promise. So Night Terrors Green Lantern 2, written by Jeremy Adams, art by Eduardo Panceca, Jordi Tarragona, and Julio Ferreira, colored by Luis Guerrero, and letter by Dave Sharp. I love it because, you know, you have this insomnia creature who's trying to, you know, frighten all these heroes. And the idea is like, oh, we're gonna frighten you, Hal. And Hal's like, do you know what willpower is? Like, basically, like, nah, it's not gonna work. And it just never works on him. He's just like, nah, I got this. And I really like that. I thought it was funny because it definitely made it distinct from the other books. And it's definitely an arena, I would say, yeah, Hal would probably have an advantage. Hal would probably be very strong in this compared to a lot of people. It is just pure willpower, and I think that's really cool. He gets confronted with a lot of his worst times, and he's just like, yeah, I remember that. Like, whatever. Like, I thought it was great. So, definitely a different Night Terrors book, but something I really enjoyed. So, very, very cool. Which brings me to my next Night Terrors book, which is Night Terrors Robin, written by Kenny Porter, art by Miguel Mondoca, colored by Adriana Lucas, and letter by Tom Napolitano. This is the one with Tim and Jason, and this whole odd couple pairing of the two Robins that don't like each other very much trying to work together. And I think it was done really well. I think the idea of them, having to work together is like a cool story. And it definitely, I definitely like the way that was resolved in that. It wasn't a simple matter of let's switch partners. Like you fight my bad guy, I fight yours. It's more interesting than that. And then there's the Jason, the realization Jason has to come to as to what he has to do, I think is a really interesting development for his character. I'm not going to spoil it, but they get out obviously. But yeah, I think it's very, very interesting and shows a lot of like, self-awareness for the character that I think some people don't write in. And I think it's really good. I really enjoyed it. The only thing I will say about it that I it's not even about this book, it's just DC in general. I just want to make sure it's very clear. If I ever see Jason in something with a crowbar again, it'll be too soon. I don't care. It's give Jason something else, man. like give him some other damage or something. I'm so sick and tired of hearing about the Joker killing Jason. I'm done with it. So whatever. Next up is Night Terrors Shazam number 2. Maybe my favorite Night Terrors of the many so far. Written by Mark Waid, penciled by Roger Cruz, inked by Wellington Diaz, colored by Arif Prianto, and letter by Troy Pateri. I love it because it's Mary and she's doing what she has to do. And she is able to go into her family's dreams and awaken their powers in them again, which I thought was really cool. It had a little bit of a humor to it because some of them had like hilarious nightmares, which is great. I also love the fact that she ended up going to her parents' dreams and the solution for that. Again, I won't spoil what happened there. There's also an amazing two-page spread I'm not going to spoil that is absolutely incredible. I love it, and you'll know what it is when you see it. It's just, I love when people play with the way frames work in comics. It's just so cool. And I love the solution. The solution is simply that she can't save everybody all the time. Sometimes they have to save her, and I think that's really cool. I really enjoyed this. And God, just don't forget Mary Marvel exists, DC. Please make her a premier character. I promise. It'll be great. Next up is Night Terror's Zatanna, number 2. This one is one of the few that actually takes place in the waking world. Written by Dennis Culver, drawn by David Baldion, colored by Rain Barreto, and lettered by Pat Brasseau. Zatanna is on the run from the mutated robot man, and it's just a really cool story. I really like it. It's about her surviving on her own, being a badass, doing what she has to do, you know, standing up to her worst fear alone, which is the disappointment of her father. I really thought it was really well done. I thought it was great. I'm spoiled because it's David Baldion. He is one of my favorite comic artists on the planet. Thank you, X-Factor forever. But yeah, really, really liked it. I thought it was very fun. It also made me like Robot Man, and I'm not a huge fan of Doom Patrol. I thought that was really well done. So, curious to see how this is going to tie into everything, the ending, and once we see what's happening with Wonder Woman in them as well. So, next up, Night Terrors, the central story, number 3. So this is the one with the actual arc of what's happening in the universe as a whole, as opposed to all these side stories. Written by Joshua Williamson, art by Giuseppe Comancoli, Stefano Nissi, and Caspar Vingard. Colors by Frank Martin and Caspar Vingard, and letter by Troy Pateri. I love bringing back the Wesley Dodd Sandman. I think that's fun as a zombie. Deadman and his conflict with Bruce, but also with Damian, is fun. And it's just really, really great. The origin of Insomnia, we get a brief glimpse of, I thought was really good. But the big thing is Damian is all over this book, Damian Wayne. And I'm one of those people that always thought Damian should be a big deal in the DC universe. He should be like the biggest deal. And I believe he probably will be going forward. It's left off on a pretty big cliffhanger. So we'll see where it goes from there. But that brings me to my final publisher of the week, which is Marvel Comics. And I got a couple of Marvels for you. First of all, let's talk about Guardians of the Galaxy number 5. I should mention that a lot of these Marvel books have, I think all of them have the Remembering John Romita pages on it, which is really great to see. And it opens with them, opens with 4 full pages about John Romita. So definitely rest in peace. He's a legend. He's one of my favorites ever. So, but this book, Guardians of the Galaxy, written by Colin Kelly and Jackson Lansing, art by Kev Walker, colors by Matt Hollingsworth, letter by Corey Petit. The Guardians are back together, except for Groot. And, you know, some of the tertiary characters. But it's not all happy. It's not a happy reunion. And they're basically talking about what are they going to do. Rocket doesn't believe Groot can come back. Peter's like, I've talked to him. There's this whole conflict. There's an amazing montage where Mantis is just transforming between different personalities. And it's really, really great. There's some just amazing space combat, like huge, high-scale stuff. Just some amazing imagery, like just awe-inspiring imagery, which I really, really like. And it's really grim and weird, and the ending is quite depressing and could mean something very serious. We will see what it's going to mean. But yeah, we're leading up to the Groot fall. We're leading up to what happened, and I really enjoyed it. It's very, very, very good. It also has a tease for Gods as well, which has to do with the Collector, which is very interesting. We'll see what's going to go on there. After that is The Avengers, number 4. Really enjoying this reboot of The Avengers. I think it's really great. Written by Jed McKay and art by C.F. Villa, colored by Federico Blee, and lettered by Corey Petit. As the more powerful, like raw power Avengers are taking on these invaders one-on-one. Our stealthy guys, Falcon and Captain America, are breaking into set bombs in their base. I love the villains here. They're very creepy. They're very like almost X-Men villain, like that level of like immediately iconic characters that you're going to remember and want to come back again, even though they're terrifying. Very, very, very cool. I really like the way that each one is distinct. I like the way that they match up against the ones they're fighting, specifically Wanda. With everything going on in Contest of Chaos, I just have like a nervous glance her way every once in a while as well. Really interesting. I'm very curious to see what's going to happen here. Now, I don't know. We'll see, but this ship, this impossible city, I don't remember what it physically looks like, and maybe it looks different now, or maybe I'm just forgetting something very obvious, but is that Apocalypse's ship? Is it? I don't know. We'll see. We'll see. So next up is Red Goblin number 7. We're swinging into the streets of New York for an extended Spider-Man break this week. Red Goblin number 7. Checking in with Normie and written by Alex Pacnadel, art by Jen Bazaldúa with Rafael Pimentel, colored by David Curiel and Proto Bunker's Dono Sanchez Almara, and letter by Joe Caramagna. I think it's interesting because we actually check in with the losers in order to talk about the story of Phil Urich, which I always love the losers because I'm a huge Runaways fan. That's a big part of their thing. And checking in with Chris Powell as Darkhawk. Like, I just thought that was really interesting because we have a new Darkhawk and everything. Just kind of like his motivation, Phil Urich's motivation. This turns into a Miles Morales normie team building exercise, I guess. And I thought it was really cool. Miles finds out that Normie is the controller of Red Goblin and is just a little kid. And he's just like, oh, crap. But he's also just a little kid, but not as little. So it's like, where do you draw the line, right? But they do agree to work together to solve the problem. So really good stuff. Next up is Silk number 4. I continue to love this book, and it should be an ongoing if it's not. Just throwing that out there before I start. Written by Emily Kim, art by Iguara, colored by Ian Herring, and letter by Ariana Mayer. Silk does make it out of this nightmare realm that she was trapped in, and she is going to fight her big bad, but her big bad transforms into a demon, and now she has to, like, you know, contest with that. I really like Silk. I think she's such a great character and is really underused. But I say that about all the Spidey girls now that I realize that. So, yeah, really good stuff. I love how all these Silk minis are tying together and they're one long story. I think that's really cool. And it's definitely worth, if you read it all, it's worth it to come back, you know, something for the fans to really enjoy to show the loyalty. So after that is Miles Morales, Spider-Man number 9. Written by Cody Ziegler, art by Federico Vicentini and Federico Sabatini, colored by Brian Valenza and letter by Corey Petit. This is Miles fighting the Hobgoblin on behalf of Beyond Corporation, which is really interesting. And it does feature Starling as well, teaming up with Miles. There's some really great art in this one. I love the way that Starling is drawn. I love the way Hobgoblin looks. The way they draw his face is very crazy and creepy. Very cool. Yeah. And then we do find that he is acting on behalf of a mysterious person, which I will not spoil for you. You should check out for yourself. But great stuff. And next Spidey book is Amazing Spider-Man 31, a.k.a. 925. There's so much going on in this, so I will just jump in. Written by Zeb Wells. Penciled by John Romita Jr. and Emilio Lasso. Inked by Scott Hanna and Emilio Lasso, colors by Marcio Meniz and Brian Valenza, and letter by Joe Caramagna. So the main story here is about the wedding of Janice and Randy Robertson, and how it doesn't go as planned, obviously. It features quite a few things that happen here, but the main thing is that, in the first half, there is the bachelor party, and it does feature, you know, them, Peter screwing everything, Peter pretending to screw everything. It's a long story. You have to read it. But the big thing is that Peter and Black Cat come to the realization that they shouldn't be together, which I think is bullshit, but that's fine. I just want Black Cat to be happy. Then we go to the wedding itself. And because every crime lord on the planet is invited to this wedding, and we know that gang war is coming up, yes, the wedding is interrupted, and people are injured and killed, including Tombstone, which is interesting because he's supposed to be bulletproof. After that, there's a bunch of side stories which are really great. There's one with Spider-Man and Captain or Miss Marvel after she's brought back to life, which I thought was a really great way to tie up her storyline in ASM. There's a follow-up with Dr. Octopus and his teasing the Superior Spider-Man turn. There's one that I really loved, which is MJ basically coming to grips with the fact that she should be a hero and becoming Jackpot herself, which I thought was really great. There's also a tease for the new Spider-Woman series, which I really liked and gives me a lot of hope for what this book is going to be. And just several others. There's so many. It's a big, thick book, but definitely worth a read. I really thoroughly enjoyed it. It's going to be great. And great anniversary issue. Random number 925. I know it's a nice round number, so we want to celebrate it, but I did not expect to like it that much. I thought it was really cool, and there's a lot here. So yeah, awesome. And my final Spidey book of the week is Spider-Man Annual number 1. This is part 1 of Contest of Chaos, and it's written by Stephanie Phillips, art by Alberto Foce, color by Raul Angulo, letter by Joe Caramagna. And we get to see where these heroes are being pitted against each other out of control. And it's just really interesting. In this issue specifically, it's Spider-Man fighting Wolverine. And they're taken to this lost city to have the fight. And so it's already got that mystical feel to it. They're both drawn to this mysterious orb, and they're completely out of control to the point that Wolverine hurts Peter pretty bad. And that's interesting to see, like, the level of control someone has over him at that point and the stakes that might be there for this magic fight, basically. In the end, I'm not going to tell you who wins, because someone does definitively win. And it kind of gives us a tease what happens afterwards as to where this story is going to go. But overall, I really enjoyed it. I thought it was cool. I cannot wait for some of these matchups, because it's almost like we're back to the DC Marvel crossover that I love, because I'm like, oh, so-and-so should win so-and-so. So the matchups we have coming up are Iron Man versus Storm, Human Torch versus Ghost Rider, Moon Knight versus Takigugi, Spider-Gwen versus White Fox, Venom versus Deadpool, Cyclops versus Captain Marvel, and Avengers versus ? Now, Cyclops versus Captain Marvel doesn't sound very fair. I'll just throw it out there. But yeah, really enjoying it. And it's going to be across all the annuals, so it's going to be nice and fun to collect them all. Now we're going to go to the smoldering remains of Krakoa for some X-Men books. Oh boy. First up, The Children of the Vault, number 1. I was very excited about this book because I'm a big fan of these characters. I was reading the comics when they were introduced, and I followed them pretty much their entire existence. So, written by Denise Comp, art by Luca Maresca, color by Carlos Lopez, and letter by Corey Petit. I really like this. I find it very interesting that we get a time jump after the destruction of Krakoa, basically, where we jump ahead quite a bit of time, and the Children of the Vault are now the Children of Tomorrow, and they're promising to fix all the world's problems. And it seems like they're basically just doing what the mutants were doing, but the world is accepting them, and you're kind of like, that's weird, but then there's a dark truth behind it, and it's up to Cable and Bishop to discover what's going on. Love seeing Cable and Bishop team up because of the history there. I think it's a very fun, interesting dynamic, and a great start to the post-Krakoan era. I think it was really great. I love the resist theme. There's resistance throughout everything that's going on. We'll talk about that a bit more in another book, but great start. I really, really like it. I really hope in the end the Children of the Vault are basically folded into the mutant society and become mutants, because they're really cool characters. I really like them. So fingers crossed. We'll see. The next book, I did put this in the Krakoan section, even though it is a crossover with the non-X-Men book, but it is in the X-Men reading list. So that's why I did that. Ghost Rider Wolverine Weapons of Vengeance Alpha. Written by Benjamin Percy, art by Jeff Shaw, colored by Rain Burrito, and letter by Travis Lanham. This does take place partially in a flashback about a young boy who appears to be possessed by a demon, and how Ghost Rider and Wolverine handled that before, and then now in the present time where something has gone wrong, presumably with the same boy, and the two of them are back together to solve the problem. It's very cool. It's very dark and grim, just as you would probably imagine a book with these two in it. It's very cool. It's going to lead to this a four-part crossover where it's this book, a Wolverine issue, a Ghost Rider issue, and then an Omega. So technically counts as a crossover for an end-of-the-year awards, but it's already really good. I really think it's dope, and I'm very curious to see how crazy and violent and weird it gets, because there's already some body horror in this issue. So very, very, very cool. And my final book of the week is Immortal X-Men number 14. Oh, boy. Okay. This one is written by Kieran Gillen. This is drawn by Lucas Wernick, art by David Curo and Eric Arcianega, and letter by Clayton Cowles. And it's kind of the aftermath of Krakoa from Charles Xavier's perspective, where he is still on Krakoa. He's the only person left on Krakoa. And he's disheveled, and he's just sitting there defending, basically using his powers to keep people away from Krakoa. Meanwhile, Sebastian Shaw is trying to take Krakoa and basically strip mine it for its resources. That's kind of like the main struggle, but there's also a struggle between Shaw attempting to go back to the Hellfire Club and discovering that, nah, you don't go here anymore, basically. Emma has taken over, and with Wilson Fisk as the new White King of the Hellfire Club. So that definitely seems like the deal they made, which is really, really cool. I'm curious to see how else we're going to fold other characters in. I think we already know that Tony Stark is going to be the Black King that was revealed to us. Just Sebastian Shaw being like, yo, I'm going to recover all my money. I'm going to do my thing by strip mining Krakoa. And Charles is like, bet. So really great. I also need to talk about at the end where we do find out that a huge chunk of the mutant population was shunted off onto a desert planet with Exodus leading them. And now he's leading them through the desert, which is just fantastic. Just, it's ridiculous how on the nose it is, but I love it so much. So who needs subtlety? So really, really cool. I really thoroughly enjoy it. I should also mention that Sebastian Shaw erased his mutant powers. That's another thing that happened. So yeah, I love this post Krakoan era, but I hope we go back to Krakoa in the end. but it's nice to see them fight a real threat. To be legitimately threatened with everything they had set up with the five and the resurrection process, it was hard to feel like they were in trouble. And I think this is a good way of, you know, putting them in peril. I think it's a really great idea. So, but that is it. Those are the issues that we had this week. Make sure to check us out on Twitter. You can find me at WHI Podcast Keith. You can find producer Liz at WHI Podcast Liz. And you can find my co-host, Josue, who's currently on hiatus, at Josue Reads Josue. You can also find our other show, Jukebox Vertigo, at Jukebox Vertigo on Twitter. That is our musical playlist building show, where we build a playlist every episode based on a randomized category. It is currently on hiatus as well. However, you can listen to the old episodes, and they're still great. So make sure to check us out on there. And also make sure to follow Josue on Twitch. He's at Josue Plays Josue. He hasn't been streaming very much because, once again, he is on hiatus, but when he's back, he plays a lot of games, including a lot of Mario Kart. He plays a little bit of Hades, some Metal Gear Solid, and he does listening parties for each one of our episodes of Jukebox Vertigo. As we add the songs to the playlist, he listens to them and gives his opinion. So make sure to check that out once again at Josue Plays Josue. And finally, check out our network, A Certain POV. That is where we are hosted, as Jukebox Vertigo is a part of the Certain POV network. So check them out at Certain POV Media on Twitter. Join the Discord because it's so much fun. I love being in there talking comics, talking music, talking books, games, everything. There's a great group of people, and I think you should join us, and we would love to have you. With that said, Don't forget to bag, board, and box your new treasures, and we'll see you next week with a new batch of beautiful books. Stay safe and read more comics.
Hey, Nerf Herders.
You sure you want to go with that?
Hey, everyone?
There we go. More inviting.
Have you ever had a movie that you really wanted to love, but something holds you back?
Or one that you did love in spite of a flaw?
Well, I'm Case Aiken.
And I'm Sam Alisea.
And on Another Pass, we sit down with cool guests to look at movies that we find fascinating.
But flawed.
And we try to imagine what could have been done when they were made to give them that little push.
We're not experts. We just believe in criticism.
Constructive criticism.
Sure.
So come take another pass at some movies with us.
And every now and then, we can celebrate movies that did it on their own, too.
You can find us at CertainPOV.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Pass it on.